best thing that a person can do in life is live for God. There's nothing better. Of course, I didn't think that at one time. And I kind of went on about my business doing the things that I wanted to do. And I felt like my life would be better fulfilled if I left God out of it. And what I found out is, and I didn't go deep and I didn't go a long time, but I went long enough. And what I learned is that it was the worst decision that I ever made not to live for the Lord. And then when I came to my senses, and this is what I say about every person that is not, now I don't want you to be offended at what I'm saying, but every person that has chosen not to be saved, not to live for the Lord, is a person that is not in their right mind. Don't be angry. But it's the truth. Well, Brother Darrell, well, you have the right to say that. Why do you have the right to say it? It's not just a right to say it. It's just, I want you to consider it. You look at people's lives and you look at the people that have not lived for God and the people that have. Generally, the people that live for the Lord, their lives are better. All right? And the people that haven't, their lives go downhill. Let me tell you, we need help. There is not a person here that doesn't need the Lord's help. God, the God of the universe, the God that created everybody, the God that created you, the God that gave you the personality that you have, and your personality is different than my personality. It is different from the person that's sitting next to you. God had a purpose in all these different personalities that are coming in. He said, well, you know, I've had people to say things like, well, Darrell, your personality just kind of fits being a Christian. I've had people to say that. Well, it does. That's absolutely true. But they said it in the context that their personality doesn't really fit to be that. Let me tell you what God did. God made every personality to fit the gospel. Peter had a different personality than John. Peter was quick. He spoke before he thought about it. Any of y'all like that? Some of y'all are like that. Right? We're going to think, we'll think about it after we say what's on our mind. All right? Some of us have that personality. And then some have the personality that's a little bit more subtle, a little bit more soft. And there's nothing wrong with any personality. There's not one that's better than the other. They're just different. But all of them, there's not a personality that does not need Jesus. All right? Let me say it like this. Your personality, and sometimes we deal with people from time to time. We have family, friends, and people that get on our nerves. Anybody here don't have people that get on their nerves? I want you to raise your hand for real. And I don't want you to be shy. There are personalities that conflict with each other, right? And there are personalities. And why did God put these? Now, this is not even what I was preaching about, but the Lord gave it to me, so I'm going to say it to you. Why does God allow different personalities to come together and rub each other wrong? Why did he do that? Okay, so a little sandpaper. You know, this is wood. This wood was nice, but it was rough wood. It came from an oak tree somewhere, right? And they had to sand it down to make it smooth and make it where it looks nice. And what the scripture says, in one place, iron sharpeneth iron, right? So there are going to be some things. Let me tell you why he does it. Is there anything about your personality that you wish you could change? It is. Are there some things about you that you don't like? All right, there's some things about yourself that you don't like. Why are you upset at me if I don't like some things about you? Huh? Why would you be upset? Why would I be upset at you if you didn't like? When there are some things about me that I don't like, but I change them. So the reason that God does it, in order for me to get along with people, I need God to be able to get along with people, or we'd be fussing and fighting all the time. I need God. The God takes me somewhere and he says, listen, I want you to look in the mirror and I want you to understand how much you need me. You cannot do this without me. And sometimes we feel in our own mind that we're so much better. We get on our high horses, so to speak, and we get on our high, at least I'm not like, I don't do such. And I don't do such and such. Well, but at least Brother Randall can say, well, at least I'm not like Brother Darrell. I don't do such and such, and I don't do such and such, and I'm not like this. But God wants us as a community of believers to live together, to work together, to love one another, that love oils it. There's something about when you love somebody. You know what the scripture says? Love covers a multitude of sins. You put together a husband and a wife. And let me tell you, a divorce rate is high nowadays, right? But let me tell you what can make any person, no matter how bad they are, no matter how difficult they are, if the two people, now, I can't say that if just one person want to love the Lord, but if two people decide that I am going to live for God no matter what, they'll be able to get along. There is no reason that two people that are saved and sanctified and living for God can't get along. Even if they have a different personality, everybody had different personality. Look at the individuals in the disciples that God chose. He chose completely different. Judas, a little underhanded person. You know somebody that's a little dubious? Somebody that's a little, they don't tell everything that's going on. They keep some things to themselves. They keep some things hidden. We don't like that. I'm just one of those. I'm going to get it all out there. I'm going to let you know what I'm thinking about. But then there are some people who won't let you know what they're thinking about. And God chose one of those people. Then there are some people that are just loving and they're so sweet, like John leaning on his bosom and never causing a stink and never causing a problem. And the Lord just loved. Those are character. Those are character traits, right? And then there's Peter that he said that stepped out and on the water and decided to go do something that no man has ever done. And if you really think about it, it was a foolish thing to do in the natural sense. Stepping on the water. The boat that's rocking and the waves on, and Peter sees Jesus out there, this apparition or whatever it was that we don't know. He said, "It's I." The Lord said, "It's I. It's I. Be not afraid." They were afraid. Y'all know the story. Anybody don't know the story? Well, it's a story about Jesus walking on the water and Peter deciding that he is going to. He said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water." That's what he said. And what did the Lord say? Come, find that. I'm not sure where it is in the scripture, but find it. It's not written down, but he said, come. And do you know what happened? Has anybody ever walked on water here? No, we haven't. But he said, come. And with one word, Peter, by faith, stepped out before he thought about it, before he realized that this is maybe not a good idea. All the other ones thought that it wasn't a good idea. But Peter, that personality, that character trait, that just stepped out on the water on one word. Do you see how powerful God is? One word. He didn't say, I'm going to lay down. But this is what I want us to understand, that he said, the Lord said, come, and Peter, in obedience and by faith, walked on water. He did the impossible. You got it? All right, read it. Fourth watch of the night. Yes. They were troubled. It is a spirit. So that here, well, what would you do? You're out in the middle of the lake or the middle of the ocean, and all of a sudden you see a person walking toward you. That would make me afraid too. I don't think anybody in their right mind wouldn't be afraid. All right, not knowing what it is. At this point, they don't know it's Jesus. Read. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Lord, if it be thou, bid me. Yes. 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 All right, so do we see here, and what I'm wanting to talk about today is that we can prove the word of God to be true. We can prove it. And God wants us, the Lord wants us to understand that everything that was written in this Bible is true. It really is. Whether I believe it or not, it's still true. God created the universe. No matter what the scientists say, and no matter what evolutionists say, God created the universe. He spoke it into existence. Do you understand what I just said? He spoke it. His words were what created the foundation on which we're walking. It created the world, the earth. And it's important for us to know that, because what I'm endeavoring to get us to do, you to do, me to do, is to understand that I can stand on the Word of God. I can stand on the
promises of God. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, Peter said, if you can do it, I can do it too. And he said, Lord, if it really is you, bid me come to you on the water. And what did the Lord say? He did not try to prove to him, Peter and the rest of the disciples didn't say, Peter, he said he's the Lord, and I feel it in my spirit that he's the Lord, but why? What is even the purpose of you wanting to walk on the water? Why do you even need to do this? It's foolish. There are some times that the Lord wants us to step out and do what seems to be impossible, simply because we're trusting and we're proving his word. So Peter, on us to understand this. There's another place. He's saying, come. And then you remember the time, there's another time where the Lord tells the man that is demon-possessed, legion, and the demons say, listen, there's a herd of swine, about 2,000 swine, and since you're going to cast us out of this man, would you bid us to go into the swine? And what does the Lord say? Go! Go! One word! He didn't say, you can go into this wine, and then when you... He didn't say any of that. It was an understanding that the Word of God is so powerful that we can prove it, and the devils have to do what God tell them to do. All right? We can do what God tells us to do if God gives us the command. He says, come to Peter, and Peter just steps down and starts walking on the water. As long as he trusts the Lord, as long as he believes God has faith in the Lord, everything's fine, right? But then what happens? Oh, what did he do? Read, please.
When he saw the wind boisterous.
He saw the wind boisterous. He was afraid. And he began to sink. Listen, don't take your eyes off the Lord. In whatever situation, whatever circumstances that you're in, and listen, I've been there. I have a personality. My personality is quite different from my wife's personality. Sometimes I tell off on myself. So I'm going to... Don't think any less of me. But you know what? I can change my mind very quickly. Oh, somebody gives me a good, make your case. And I change my mind. She's not so much. Telling off. You've got to give her some convincing evidence she's already made up her mind. This is how it's going to be. And you got to give her convincing evidence. Sorry about this, babe. Convincing evidence for her to change. But I like that. You know why? Because we work well together. And sometimes she just say, no, just we're going to stay right here. We're going to keep it like this. Well, here's some evidence. That doesn't matter what kind of evidence happened. This is what we're going to do. And I've learned something over the course of that when the Lord gives you something, you stand there no matter what the devil gives you in exchange. You just stand there. So he said, come, and Peter stepped down on the water. Continue to read, please. He saw the wind boisterous. Well, he took his eyes off of the Lord, and sometimes we can do that. We take our eyes off of what we need to take our eye, what we need to keep our eyes on. We're looking at all the circumstances. You know what the sister said here about Brother Randall's sister? She's an elderly woman, and in our minds, we say, well, she's older, and it's time for her to go home. And so she should be declining, but you know what? Older person told, I heard an older person say, she said, listen, old folks want to be healed too. And just because you're going to die doesn't mean that you got to decline all the way down. You can ask the Lord, Lord, keep me healthy until the day you want to call me. The Lord can do that too. All right? So don't put it in your mind how you think things should go and how you think God should do things. You look at the Word of God, and the Lord has already made provisions. He's already made arrangements in some kind of a way for whatever situation or circumstance that you're under. You'll never have a unique circumstance that the Bible doesn't talk about. There is some situation in the Bible that some person with the same personality that you have, with the same set of circumstances. Have you ever noticed how all of us were born into different environments? I was born a country boy in a little town that's under 20,000 people. My high school class was 304, 308, and that was a whole town. This is a little bitty town, isn't it? But the Lord had me in that environment. Number 8 out of 11 children, got teased about, had four older sisters, three older sisters, whatever, that all act like they were tried to be your mama. Y'all have anything like that? Always trying to be your mother and all that. And so you had those, you had older brothers that kind of kept you intact and all those kinds of things, and you didn't like any of it. Oh, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You didn't like any of it. But the Lord put me in that environment. And in the environment that the Lord put me in, he had a purpose for that. I had a good mother. I had a good father. But some of you didn't. Some of you were raised without a mother, without a father. But God still has a purpose in your life. God still has a way that he wants you to do it. And all you have to do is find it out. Stand on the word of God. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How is it that you want me to do it? You put me in this environment. I am not a victim of my circumstances. I'll never be. I have never been a victim of my circumstances. I am a victor over my circumstances. It doesn't matter what happens in my life. God has already made provisions for me if I stand on his word. He's already made provisions for me. He's already made me to get through whatever the situation is. Well, bro, I wish I was raised in an environment like you, but you weren't. Sometimes I wish, you know what? Sometimes I wish when I was younger, I wish I had been raised in a different family. Any of y'all deal with that? Oh, my mother and my father didn't understand. We were poor, and the only way I knew we were poor, we always had something to eat. We never went without food. But I couldn't get things that my other friends that only had three people in their family, they can get all kinds of scooters and 10 speeds and all of this kind of thing. And so I wish I was something. I got five brothers and five sisters. You think everybody going to get a 10 speed? Or it's not going to happen. But God knew that. And I was talking to a young man yesterday. I said, you know what? Some of the things, the best things that ever happened to me were the things that I hated the most. Really. It taught me how to be a man. The things that my father taught me on a farm and doing hard labor, as far as I was concerned, it was like I was looking for the Underground Railroad. I was ready to get out of there. I can't wait till I get 18. When I get 18, I am out of here. And then it seemed like when I got married, it seemed like, oh, everything my parents have done, it's kind of making sense now. Oh, this is how you do it. This is how you raise a child or this. And we started doing exactly what my parents did. And I found out that they weren't so ignorant after all. But God knows the environments that we're in. Even in bad environments, he allows us to be in those environments, and he allows us to be in them for a reason. There are some people that you're going to minister to that I can't minister to. They're in the same environment that you, they grew up in the same environment that you had, the same kind of a personality that you have. And so God has each one of us in ministries, and our ministries are different from each other. Ministry is different from mine. Mine is from yours. Maybe you don't get up in front of people and speak, and you know, folks say, well, you know, I couldn't do it in front of too many people. Do you know what? What you're witnessing right here of God. You know why? Because I'm an introvert. I hate getting up in front of people. And ask anybody that really knows me from the inside that it's difficult for me to do it, but I've done it. Why? Because this is what God requires of me, and God enables me, and he gives us the empowers us to do things that we shouldn't be able to do. So I say to minister, some young man that said, well, the Lord's calling me to the ministry. I say, to the ministry, and I feel like I'm struggling, and I really don't want to do that. I say, I'm sorry. If you're coming here for sympathy, this is the wrong person. I think you have the wrong person. Because I'm not going to sympathize with you. I'm going to tell you, God gives you the power to do the impossible. He gives you the power. There is no reason that Peter should have been able to walk on water. No reason. But did he do it? He did it. And do you know that there are going to be some things that are impossible for you to do, that God wants you to do anyway, and you're just going to have to step out on faith, and you're going to have to believe that God is going to empower you, and he's going to put the foundation underneath you for you to walk to do the impossible. God will do it. If you're coming at his bidding, did you notice something about Peter in this situation? It didn't say, oh, Jesus, that's you, and then Peter goes, and jumps in the water and starts walking. He didn't do that. No, he didn't do it. Do you know why he didn't do it? Because he did not have the power or the authority to do it. Now, he could have jumped in and swam to Jesus. He said, I want to walk to you. If you're walking, I want to walk to you. And then what did Jesus say? He asked permission first. So there are going to be some times that we're going to have to ask the Lord, is this what you want me to do? And the Lord, sometimes the Lord said, no, I don't want you to do that. Don't do it. And you know your best thing to do is to not do it. And then there are going to be some times that the Lord says, yes, I want you to do it. But Lord, I don't know. I don't see how we're going to be doing it. We've been talking about faith over the last several Sundays, kind of on a series of faith. And this is the same thing. I thought, when we're in this building, you know why we're in this building? Because it is an act of faith. It is like Peter. If I didn't have Peter as an example of doing the impossible, then we may have been afraid. Those of us that got together, we may have been afraid to do it, right? So what did we do? We said, Lord, would you allow us to do this? Is this your will for us to do? And the Lord says, yes. Then he obligates himself to make you come to him. That you come as far as you need to go. And so what happens is when you start taking your eyes and you look on the waves are unsettled, you know? But there's a scripture in James that's talking about ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the sea, driven wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So what are you talking about? What is that talking about? Well, today I believe we can do it. Tomorrow the circumstances seem so dire and so a situation so horrible. I don't think we can do it tomorrow. And then today, the sun comes out. And the south wind blows very warmly. Now I believe I can do anything. But then at that night it starts getting cloudy and the rain starts coming down. Now we don't believe we can do it. No, you stand on what God told you to do. You stand there. When he said, Lord, and you know what I have to say? I'm telling you about myself sometimes. I have to say to the Lord, Lord, you're the one that put me in this position. And which means if you put me in this position, then you are obligated to take care of me. With the word come, he obligated himself to see Peter. As long as Peter kept his eyes, it would have been on Jesus. It would have been a different testimony. Wouldn't it? He said, come. And I'm sure he held out his hand. And Peter started, come. I don't know if he held out his hand or not, but I know he held out his hand when Peter starts sinking, right? So sometimes it may be that we seem like sinking. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Oh, it seems like it's so hard and so difficult. You ever been in situations like that? Beginning to sink. Oh, Lord, save me. Immediately, see, he's there. He said, I gave you permission to come in this area right here. I gave you permission to do that. But my design was for you to keep your eyes stayed on me. Not on the circumstances, not on the darkness that's around, not on the waves that are beating around. I want you to look at that. Look at me. There's a calmness in Jesus. And what did he do? He said, immediately, what the Lord said, I'll teach you a lesson. I told you to trust me. No, he didn't do that. He understands our infirmities. He understands our weaknesses. So what does he do? He reaches down and he said, what did he say to him? He reaches down, pulls him up, and what does he say? Stretch forth his hand and caught him, said unto him, oh, why did you start doubting? Why did you start doubting, Peter? And so I want to say that to us. Why do we start doubting? Why do we start when the Lord starts to... Why isn't that a fight that we fight against? That I'm going to trust the Lord no matter what. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord. And that's what I want to encourage every one of us here today. Trust the Lord. Even when the waves are beating and things are horrible, let's go to James and find that. Y'all, I'm preaching a completely different message than what I had planned, but we're going to follow the Lord's
leading. Let's see. James, the first chapter, I believe it is. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. What is it?
Six.
Oh, okay. Okay, so here, let's just say, just start at the first. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. How can you count it joy when you fall into temptations? Why? Because it says here, knowing this. Now, all of us, is there anybody here that doesn't have temptations? I don't care how old you are, Brother Randall, you're probably the oldest one in here. There's still some things that you've got to watch out for, don't you? Absolutely. All right. So it says here, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Do you know one of the things that we've been talking about? You know, an ingredient in faith is patience. We're talking about the grain of mustard seed. You can plant it, but it's not going to yield fruit today. You're planting it by faith. You're planting it at sometime in the very near future. It's going to sprout up. It's going to go down. It's going to root down, and it's going to go up, and it's going to bring forth fruit, right? And so in the same way, what we have to understand, the trying of your faith, when God tries your faith, it worketh patience, all right? But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. All right, so here, any of you lack wisdom, any of you lack on in any kind of situation, any kind of circumstance, you just don't know what to do. You're baffled. You're wondering, should I do this? Should I do that? I don't know. And you go to somebody and maybe they're giving you the best advice. Have you been to people that you know did not give you the best advice? And you followed their advice maybe and it just didn't turn out? Let me tell you who you can go to. You can go to God. Get into a good relationship with God. And make it where you love him. You know he loves you. Begin in a good relationship with him and say, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But it says, let him ask in faith. And we're talking about faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I'm going to tell you something about this scripture that the Lord, it was probably, late 80s. So I'm probably in my late 20s or mid-20s, whatever I was at that age. And I needed some money. And, you know, in the 1980s, if you need $3,500, that's a lot more money than it is today. Back then, you understand what I'm saying? I needed $3,500 and I needed it within 30 days. And I asked everybody I knew. My parents generally would come through. If I had, you know, money that I needed, and they just said, we don't have it. We don't have it to spare at this time. I asked somebody else. They said they didn't have it. And the Lord gave me a scripture. He said, these two words, he said, nothing wavering. Those are the only two. The rest of the scripture, he didn't give it to me. But he inspired me with those two words. Now think about those words. Nothing. The definition of nothing. Wavering. The definition of wavering. Those are two of the most unstable words in the English language. Wavering and nothing. But the Lord said, nothing wavering. And I stood one foot on nothing and one foot on wavering. And I prayed and I sought the Lord. And do you know, the day before I needed the money, somebody that did, I wouldn't have dreamed in a million years, said, you know what? They had, for some reason, they owed me money, I think it was. And they gave me the money, and I did what I needed to do at that particular time. This is why I know that works. Don't waver. If the Lord tells you something, don't waver about it. This is just natural thing. I want to just share with you what God can do and what God is doing. And so this is why when people say, well, Brother Darrell, oh, he's just being a little reckless. No, I'm not being reckless. I am not a reckless person. But I do believe in stepping out and doing what God, if God is in something, I do believe in stepping out and seeing and proving the Lord, proving whether or not he's going to do it for me.
Lord, your word says that you'll do it. And if you inspire those two words to me, then I can stand one foot on the one and one foot on the other. Or like Peter, I can just stand both feet on one word. Come. And I start walking out there. And as I walk out there, there is Jesus right there. And if something happens, he's going to be right next to me to reach down and pull me up out of it. And the Lord obligates himself to that. I want to encourage us that way, because this is what we're talking about. We're talking about faith, saints. Talking about having faith in God. You're not having faith in me. Don't have faith in me in that way. God is a God of his word. Just like you say, you know, if I tell you that I'm going to do something, by the grace of God, I'm going to endeavor to do it. But there is this little asterisk up there that says I might not be able to fulfill what it is in that period of time that I say that I'm going to do it, right? I may not be able to do it. Have anybody ever been in a situation that you couldn't do what you thought you could do? You promise somebody something and then you say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to fulfill that promise. That has never happened to God. Ever. Not even once. He is able to fulfill every promise in this word. What? How many promises did you say it was, Brother Randall? 3,000 and something? Promises of 8,000, 7,000 it is. God can fulfill every one of them if we do our part. And our part is trusting him. I want to read another scripture. Let's keep going down here. It says, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In all of his ways. So a man with two minds. I'm not sure what to do today. I'm not sure what I'm going to do tomorrow. But if we can just put those minds together, then we know that God can do what he says he's going to do. I'm almost finished here. I want to read another scripture. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse. I want to read that. Yes. Okay. Now, okay. Okay, so there are some superlatives here. Is that what you would call it in English? These are superlatives. So we're going to start with abundantly. How do you spell abundant? Abundant. That's right? Okay. All right. Abundantly. So if you're going to say somebody's going to give you something abundantly, that means there's a whole lot of it, right? There's going to just give abundance, all right? So that's what he said. Not what he said here is exceeding, right? Okay, so exceeding is a good one too, because somebody gives in something exceeding beyond, right? So what this is saying, exceeding abundantly. So it goes beyond abundantly. And then what did he say? Another one, above. You see all of these superlatives? You see what God can do? So he says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above what? All that we what? Ask or think. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So it is saying, in essence, that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above my greatest and wildest imagination. Is that what that's saying? Yeah. Wildest imagination. I'm a very imaginative person, but God can do above that. Do you believe that? Are you willing to prove to the Lord that, Lord, I want you to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think? But what does he say? What's the rest of that scripture? Okay, according to the power that works in us. Now, this is going to be my last scripture, Lord willing. What does that mean? According to the power that works in us. What does it mean? Our connection to him. What would be the power that works in us? The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of faith. That if we have faith to believe this, the Lord has the ability to do it. He can create a solution. He is the creator. Maybe, I don't know about this Brother Darrell. This is a unique situation we're in right now. The The Lord is the creator of unique situations, and he can remedy the solutions of unique situations if we can trust him. So there is a twofold purpose. We said this before, that there is God and there is man. And there is a part that God does and there's a part that we do. And this is what the church is. And when we look at Jesus Christ, what do we look at? Who is Jesus? Jesus is God's son, right? And he is a type of the church, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? He is a type of the church, or the church is a type of Christ, right? And how do we say that? Because we're talking about here a God and man. So, Mary. Who is Jesus' father? Is it Joseph? No, it's the Holy Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit plus Mary equals Christ, right? You see that? So it's part God, part man, and then we have Christ. Part God, part man, we have the church. It's a type of Christ, all right? So here's what we're saying. What we have to understand is Christ is at, is who is the Word? What is the Word? The Word made flesh, and it dwelt among us. So what is the Word? Right here, Christ. So when we stand on the Word, who do we stand on? Christ. We sing a song sometime, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking. What am I standing on? I'm standing on the Word of God. I'm standing on where the Scripture tells the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was there in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Go to the beginning of Genesis. What is it talking about? It's talking about in the beginning. Let's just go to the first part. I don't want to mess it up. I'm just going to just give us a little bit, a taste of this. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And what happened? The Spirit of God. So what happened is what we have first here is that in the beginning, God created, right? Then what we have also here in this particular scripture, it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Okay, so we have here the Holy Spirit, right? And then what happened? And then he said, and God said, let there be light. So you know what that is? That those words, Christ himself. That makes sense to you? Word. How do I say a word? How do we know the words? I'm speaking something. I'm speaking it. So what we have at the very beginning of creation is the Trinity. At the very beginning of creation, God, the Holy Spirit moved, and the first three scriptures in the Bible, what we have is all three of the Godhead. God, the Holy Spirit, and God said. If he said it, and it was strong enough to create that green grass and those trees and the dirt and the sun, let there be light and the stars, then it's strong enough to support whatever it is that you need held up. Trust him and stand on his word.